What is going on, everyone? Welcome to episode 188 of Literary Lessons. I'm your host, Angelo, and with me this weekend, we got the whole group back. We have Jay and Carter. Boys, how you doing?
Doing great. I had a very nice weekend last weekend, so thank you all for covering. I got to play some golf. Great times.
I also had a really eventful weekend. I played the best round of golf I've shot yet. I shot 20 over, so you know we're gaming.
I also shot my best round 11 over. So
is it on 9?
It was 9, yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah, we're not, you know, we're not going out to play 18. I'm good. I don't have that kind of endurance.
I do play 18, but I also stink, so, but I'm very aware of it, and that's the good thing. We have fun with it.
Exactly. I go to play, play for fun. And then, yesterday was my buddy's bachelor party where we went to the casino. I walked in, never having been to a casino to actually gamble before in my life, went in expecting to lose the $100 I brought, and instead I spent 40 of that and came home with 900. So,
yeah, you were definitely pulling the bucks in. You had a good day, better than my first time gambling at a casino where I lost all 100 in the slots in like 30 minutes.
Oh, see, that's your problem. You played slots.
Well, yeah, Amanda was with me. That's what she wanted to do. Then there was my dad because the casinos in Delaware, they let you smoke and everything. So he was chain smoking cigarettes in one hand. Had his vodka cran in the other. He was living life. I wasn't able.
Yeah,
to.
It was a fun time. Yeah. Cause I know I kept updating you all. I know I Snapchatted Jay like 8 or 9 times. I'm just like, all right, cool. I'm up $200. I'm up $300. I'm up $700.
Yeah, he was quite literally flexing on me all weekend long for no reason.
Yeah. I was excited, dang it.
It's okay, I was excited for you. I this past weekend wasn't as great for me. I know I wasn't feeling too amazing, but I went to a concert Saturday night, had a good time. And
what show did you go to?
Went and I saw Hotel Ugly this weekend. It was fun.
Can't say I've ever heard of them.
Yeah, it's they're a small little indie group.
Gotcha.
I like them. They got nice little vibes.
Yeah. So this weekend,
vibes are like the most important part for like especially those small indie groups.
Yeah.
It's always about the vibes, man.
Always. I mean, yeah, let's be honest. Of course. So what are we doing this week? We've had like our 5 minutes of sports talk here at the top of the show.
So we're talking about the Peoria Regional Championships just completed today. The first Regulation E tournament. And as we discussed last week, we didn't get the official rules set for this event until a week before. Luckily, it was exactly what we expected it to be. And so a lot of the people who have been practicing and grinding these smaller grassroots events, or in some cases, very large grassroots events, their practice was well-founded. But still, this is the first one. This is the kickoff event for an entire month of Regulation E-Regionals. Well, we're going to have one every single week.
Is that true?
Yeah. So this week was Peoria. We went through this right before. You weren't listening to me.
Look, man, the Cowboys are playing...
Carl, I know how you feel. Anyways, so we have Peoria
George Kittle wide open in the end zone.
Next weekend is Sacramento. Then we have Lille in Paris the weekend of October 21st and 22nd. And finally, to round out the weekend, Halloween weekend, we get the Toronto Regional. And after this month, though, we do go on a break. The next events after this month are the regional in Poland and our first Oceania regional in Brisbane. And those aren't until Thanksgiving weekend, United States Thanksgiving weekend. I actually do think tomorrow is Canadian Thanksgiving. So to our Canadian listeners, happy Thanksgiving.
Neat.
Yeah. So this James Beck guy is pretty good at Pokemon.
I am so happy that he ended up winning this whole tournament at 13-1 record. I love the Golden Go on his team. I'm very happy to see it all. I just drafted Golden Go as my first pick in UDL, so I'm happy to see it do well in this format. But yeah, I funny story. I met James Beck at Secaucus Regionals. I have a picture with him, and yeah, I'm very happy to see him take the tournament. This top eight is completely stacked, though.
It's so
that's good. What I'm looking at now. I'm just like, good golly, these these people are just like insane.
And if we scroll down, the top 16 is just as good. So I know for the people who are viewing, we are using the Top Cut Explorer. Discord doesn't want to be nice to Lab Mouse, so until we get that, Tim gets the website rolling, this is probably how we'll be going through our events. What is super nice, though, I don't know if you tested this out or not, Carter, but if you click the name, it's a hyperlink to the open team sheet. So if you want,
oh, thank goodness, I'm over here like trying to like multi-screen this and like try to figure out how I can pull up teams without.
Yeah.
All right. Cool.
So yeah, this is James's team here. It's very similar. I completely forgot the name of the Japanese player who made the team, but it's very similar to a Regulation D Japanese team that had the Hisuian Arcanine, the Manual Rain Tornadus, and Urshifu Rapid Strike. The differences are that team had a bulky booster Flutter, where we have the lefties Goldango, Iron Hands as the fake out Pivotmon instead of Rillaboom, and of course one of everyone's favorite new Pokemon, the Wellspring Overpon. It's a team that can go play both balance and offense. The rain is just really, really great weather-wise. Four of the top 12 Pokemon for day two were fire types, so having Rain Dancer just limit damage of four of the top 12 Pokemon in the meta are really huge, and it's also boosting up your Waterfu and your Overpon.
Something I noticed about this team that I thought was really cool is that Goldengo and Tornadus are both Terra Dragon. I think that Terra type is, like, in past formats has been seen as a pretty big detriment because Fluttermane is all over the place. But in this format, with all the Ogre Ponds being extremely popular, a lot of fire types, a lot of water types, a lot of grass types, Fluttermane a little bit on the down, that Dragon Terra type is actually a really nice defensive type, which I think is awesome to see on Goldengo here specifically. Is really, really interesting considering its matchup into Fluttermane is not that great to begin with. So kind of going to another weakness with your Terra type is a unique kind of thought, but I know I can see the vision with like all the other big threats in the format.
Well, I think the idea is that you're able, especially on your Tailwind, your Arcanine, your Banded Arcanine, your Ogrepan in the rain, your Urshifu in the rain, though, and of course Iron Hands with Heavy Slam. That's a lot of Fluttermane hate to begin with. And you do get to play this fun mind game where they could go for the Shadow Ball, and if you Terra, you go from a super effective hit to a neutral hit, or they can try to call the Terra and Boom Blast in your Goldengo, but you can just not Terra, and all of a sudden they're going with a not very effective hit. So the Terra Dragon does add a layer of mind games into it, but in general, like, you'd like to have the Fluttermane issue handled before you're trying to play those Terra Dragon, Goldengo mind games. Think about something, Carter, or you're watching again.
I was thinking.
Okay.
I was really just thinking that I really need to go through and watch coverage to see how well this Dragon Goldengo plays. Because so, it like on paper, it just seems so awkward.
I think it's mainly to deal with that Ogre Pond fire and that Chiyu.
Okay, like if that's the case, then yeah.
Like dragon feels like a really good Tyra type in this format,
yeah.
Because there's a lot of grass types. You're resistant to all of Ogre Pond, heart flame, and the Wellspring stabs. And also the Teal Mask version. The only one that can hit you for neutral damage is the rock type one. Chiyu is a very big threat to Golden Go on both sides, so tearing into a neutral dragon for the Dark Pulse or the resistant to the overheat is really good. I think the main like awkwardness with the Dragon Terra when we think about it is always Flutter main, because it has been so oppressive, but it's definitely on a slight downslope. It's not as oppressive. You don't have to say, oh, this loses to Flutter main, I can't use this, because it's actually very good into a lot of the other things that threaten this Pokemon. So I think for a Pokemon like Golden Go, I think it works really well. I don't think it works as well in other places, like specifically the Tornadus. It feels a little awkward, but yeah. I think that's also once again to deal with the Ogre Ponds, the Chiyus. Like it's all to deal with those big fire and water type hits and grass type hits.
And you know, when like Series 1 was around, I was a pretty big fan of like Dragon Terra, just because you have so many resistances. And because, I mean, fairies really weren't good in Series 1.
You had Sylveon, and that's it, really.
Sylveon.
And like the big problem was that like Baxcalibur was really good.
Yeah.
And like Ice Coverage was good, and like Dragon Stab was good as well, because you had Garchomp as well. And so it was really hard to justify like gaining these resistances while also gaining a pretty big weakness in the format. And so then, of course, you know, Series 2 came around and we got Fluttermane added. And after that, I'm just like, well, I guess the idea of Dragon Terra is just like dead on arrival. Like it seemed really cool on paper, and in reality, it just never really went with how it never really played out as well as I anticipated or as I wanted it to. So for James to have two of them here on his team, is just kind of a big shock to me.
Yeah, I think, like, again, it's a lot of things in formats that mons that aren't good in earlier formats and then good back to, like, Umbreon theory for us. This can even go with Terra types. Certain Terra, like, this was a bad Terra type for many formats. Now it's a good Terra type. There's a lot of reasons for it. You could even just bring up the, like, we did talk with Fluttermane. It wasn't the number one Pokemon. Day one, your number one Pokemon was Iron Hands. Day two, your number one Pokemon was Landorus-Therian. Of course, Fluttermane was the number two Pokemon, but Fluttermane...
Was it number two in day one as well?
Yes. And it was on, like...
I don't have the day two, or the day one stats pulled up in front of me. I have the day two, though.
Yeah, I think, yeah, it was, so for overall day two, if you're talking about just the top 128, Fluttermane actually is number three overall for the top 128 teams. But general usage, it was second place. I think it was, again, around 50%. And 50% usage is still high, but it's not, like, the 70% that we were seeing in Regulations C and Regulation D. Like, it's not as oppressive of a Pokemon. It's still amazing. It also does play a different role. A lot of Flutters are the Speed Booster variants. And those Speed Booster Flutters don't have the amount of offensive pressure. To the point where, on this team specifically, especially once it gets a Nasty Plot off, this Goldingo under Tailwind is significantly more threatening as a Ghost-type attacker than Fluttermane would be under the Tailwind.
So, to transition a little bit here, I am looking at the, top cut, the day two usage stats. Let me see if I can pull it up, see how well this works. Oh, that's hideous. There we go. There we go. So I'm looking at the day two usage stats here. Am I missing Dondozo on here? I see two Tatsus, but I see no Dozos.
I do think there was a scenario where someone messed up their Dozo. And correct me, I mean, Jay, if you've heard otherwise, or comments if I'm wrong, tell me in the comments.
There's definitely Dozos in the top 32. I see one here, Alexander Page.
Yeah, I think
Dylan
there was...
Carlton has another one.
I think there was a situation, I think like that one, that was just something someone put together. I do believe, though, that there was a situation on one of these Dozo teams that they messed up the Dozo on the team sheet, so they had to play, like, the entire day without their Dozo. And they still, like, I think, and, like, they still day two'd or were very, or, like, went 6-3 or something. But again,
there's
like...
two Dozos, day two.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this is...
Yeah, I see them on here now. But I see... They're just not on the graphic, right?
Yeah, they just were missing the graphic.
Okay.
The things I'd like to point out, going back to our tier list episode, the fact that there are three Blood Moon Ursaluna and only one Hisuian Ursaluna. I know that the three of us, we said like this, that Blood Moon is a Pokemon that has the tools to be very good, but we weren't sure if it was going to get there or not. And and it was like the point of like, why wouldn't you just play regular Ursaluna? And apparently, like, maybe people have already started figuring it out. I know there were two in the top eight. We saw it perform really well on stream multiple times. Leonard Kraft, with his weakness policy, Blood Moon, throwing it back to a Sword and Shield era. We had
Leonard
some...
is just, like, such a Trick Room player, though, so, like, I'm not surprised to see him bring Blood Moon Ursaluna at all.
And he's got
like,
Clops, too.
I was getting ready to say, pairing it next to Dusclops and Iron Hands is just, like, this feels like such, like, the most Leonard Kraft team I've ever seen in my life.
And it's so good. Like, I know we'll get a little more into teams, but, like, that was, like, one thing I wanted to say. Also, guys, you see that little purple bug in the top right-hand corner? That little purple little friend? You see that little friend?
I stand by what I said when I watched it on stream. My exact words were, it's going to click one button and it's going to die. And that's literally exactly what happened in the Justin Tang versus Marcus Dion battle, is that it clicked Fake Tears and it knocked out the Heatran. But that really didn't matter in the long run of the game, because what really ended up clinching the game for Marcus was the Dark Pulse flinch on the Ogerpon. But, like, it clicked one button and it died. And that was it. It came in game one. It didn't even click a button. It did nothing.
I'm just
going to
say this.
It Tears into the Iron Hands, and then Justin Tang literally took the Iron Hands and was like, okay, I'm going to switch this out, and then you did absolutely nothing to me. You didn't set Tailwind, which was the number one argument for it. It clicked Fake Tears, and it died. It stinks, okay? It stinks. It was player diff. When I came on, we talked about Wo Chien making the top cut, and everyone was like, it's player diff. It's the same thing here. It was player diff. It was Carson Confer being player diffed.
All I'm going to say is that... All I'm going to say is that Illumise got 130 points today.
Yeah.
And Ambipom, nothing. Zero.
Did anyone bring Ambipom?
I don't even think so.
I'm looking.
It's not in the top 128.
It says you.
I'm
looking. I haven't got that far yet.
It's not bad enough to be used as a joke, Carter. That's exactly why it's 98.
As a joke.
That's fair.
Top 16. Former world champion Carson Confer using it. I mean, put some respect on my boy. Shout out,
yeah,
Carson.
I am putting the full respect to Carson. I am not putting the respect to Illumise.
I was gonna say, who do I need to give the respect to? Carson for being a madman to bring it, or
for doing so well with such a trash mon.
So every mon has a purpose, and I think that this is like one of these examples where if you weren't someone who played VGC or like you didn't know the mon, you would be shocked. You're like, why would you use Illumise over a Pokemon like Tornadus? Because like if you take the six that they use. Actually, Carter, do you want to throw up the Carson and Marcus?
Give me half a second here so we can actually talk about,
We can go back to usage after. I just want to make a point.
Right.
Here. So when you look at the team, you could have easily thrown a Tornadus there. And it would have made sense. It would have been the Tailwind to support your Chiyu, to make your Fluttermane and all them faster, to have your Scarflando be even faster than their Scarflando. But the ability for it to not only have the speed output, but to have the fake tears to go and help your Chiyu and help your Fluttermane pick up more KOs, especially since we're using a Sash Chiyu and not a Specs Chiyu. That's huge. I know that you said that the fake tears didn't matter, but games 1 and games 3, the Heatran was a massive issue for Marcus in his stream match against Justin Tang, especially when he lost the Landorus early, and to be able to go fake tears into Shadow Ball, I'll expect Shadow Ball to get that one hit KO, that definitely means helps like Marcus get himself in position to take the game. And Encore is also a really, really good move to help these hyper offense teams to lock someone into their protect, where you know that they're going to locked in every other turn, you might be able to get a free hit, to lock Pokemon like Iron Hands and Rillaboom into fake outs. Those are really, really good moves. Even to lock your opposing Tornadus into Tailwind after they match Tailwinds. It's not a perfect Pokemon, and I didn't say it was a perfect Pokemon. I said it was usable. I was going to put it in C tier. You put it in D. I'm giving it's at least C tier. And the whole point is it fills a specific role on this team that no other Pokemon can do. No other Pokemon is able to give the Encore support, the fake tier support, and the Tailwind support all in one with Prankster. And it worked really, really well with the other five mons, and kudos to Carson and Marcus for figuring this out and going a little off the wall. Maybe not using the most optimal Pokemon, but using the one that works for them for exactly what they needed.
I'm going to say something here about specifically Illumise, okay? Illumise is so terrible in open team sheets. Because your opponent can just see what it does, and you don't have that surprise factor. Like, in a closed team sheet event, you can just go, I've never seen this thing before in my life. I don't know what this does. And the fact that instead you just go, oh, this is Prankster Tailwind. Oh, okay. Oh, they're mental herbs, so I can just hit that thing with a fake out, and then it dies. Okay.
And like, I mean, that's why you have the Terra Ghost there to play around the fake out. I was initially thinking Covert Cloak, but the mental herb, as when Carl and I were talking about this, the mental herb is to make sure that you don't get
taunted by Tornadus. Yeah,
taunted by Tornadus.
It makes sense. Like the reasoning behind the thing makes like the items and the moves and the Terra. It's a good set. I am not going to disagree with that.
You just are mad that I'm right.
I'm not mad, and I'm not saying you're right. What I am saying is Illumise died in open team sheet metas. Now, what I'm also not saying is I want to play more closed team sheet. I think open team sheet is a godsend, and it's probably so the best thing that like we've ever had for competitive Pokemon. It is genuinely wonderful. And, you know, sometimes you just want to cheese people out on ladder, and that's where Illimiz is really good.
Still, I think it was just
have Sunny Day Tornadoes, though.
I would rather have Ambipom. Like,
it's just, I don't know.
I could see the argument.
It stinks. It's the encore stuff is great, and it's very annoying. I'll tell you, it's annoying on the doubles random battle ladder. That thing can be a pain in the butt. And I mean, like, the fake tears was great. It knocked out the Heatran, and it was a big deal in games 1 and 3. But, like, I just, it doesn't have bulk. It has bad typing. It has no offensive output. It's purely, like, it's just, I just don't see it. I don't get
it's
it.
It's worse Whimsicott.
I don't see the vision.
Like, if Whimsicott was available, Whimsicott would be on this team and not Illumise. And the second Whimsicott does become available, you will never see this Pokemon ever again. And that was like the
Whimsicott can actually do damage.
Whimsicott does.
Well, yes, that's what I'm saying.
Unironically, Moonblast slaps.
Whimsicott is an insanely good Pokemon.
Yeah.
I just, that's why I said it's discount.
It's discount Whimsicott.
It's like Dollar Tree, like Whimsicott. Like, it's not just budget. It's not just discount. It's like clearance rack at the Dollar General Whimsicott.
It is New like York City. It is like street vendor like Whimsicott.
Like you know the like dollar movie bins at Walmart. Oh, it's the bottom of the barrel of those. Like.
It still worked. Let's talk about some other teams. I think I made my point. The listeners agree with me.
All right, well, I've done all the talking I wanted to this week. I'm going to go back to watching the game now.
Oh, my God. Okay. Well,
So looking here at the rest of the top eight, Lucas' team is sick. It's just, like, good stuff, right? It is just, like, pick the six best Pokemon and slap them together. But there's, like, this King Gambit, too. This Terra Dark King Gambit, I am just an absolute fan of. I'm so glad to see it continue to just perform every time. Every time I see King Gambit anymore, I hope it's this set, and then it is, and I get so excited when it is.
Well, Luke has been running this set for a really long time. I know he's very comfortable with the set. I love the Black Glasses Terra Dark set. It is
this is the same set he ran back in Charlotte?
I think he's been running this like most tournaments, yeah. Honestly. Like this Terra Dark set. I've never seen the AV on his teams, that's for sure. This Terra Dark is like his bread and butter, and it's so cool. It's awesome. It just
it's
does so,
so
much
so sick.
So it... much damage. Do not let this thing get a sword stance up. Do not let it get to +1. Your resistances do not take it. They don't. You're dead to Sucker Punch. You're dead to Kowtow Cleave. It's over.
It's so
and, like, the fact that, like, you're able to Terra away to get rid of your Steel typing so you're no longer weak to Hearth Flame is also just a huge deal.
Yeah, and you can also keep the Steel typing in order to resist, you know, go neutral to Flutter main hits. As well, like it's a very unique, like flexible typing in this meta. Like there's a lot of ways to work around it. You're afraid of the Urshifu, you're afraid of the Iron Hands with the Terra Dark still, but you're bulky enough to take that Drain Punch with the two times. The close combat, I'm sure, is pretty close. It's pretty bulky.
Yeah, I'm assuming that close combat hurts a lot.
King Gambit is very physically bulky, so it most likely can survive the HP investment and an Intimidate too, of course.
Yeah. I think the other really cool thing about this team is that it's a Specs Fluttermane with Trick Room. This was another
I was going to comment on it. I'm glad you did.
This is another late Regulation C tech that we were seeing on these Specs Flutters on the Hyper Offensive teams. Like this one, instead of carrying a fourth coverage move that odds are you're only going to click every once in a while, throwing on some weird tech choice onto the Flutter where you can just click this one non-damaging move and then just get it the hell out. being able to trick room to just reverse, like just they're like they're your opponent's using a faster hyper offensive team. Well, you click the trick room button, and now your fast Pokemon are slower than theirs. Other options I've seen with this tech were like charm choice specs, Misty Terrain choice specs, and I believe there was like a charm and Misty Terrain were like other like non-damaging moves on a specs flutter. And it's just like one of those things where your two stabs are so awesome, and like you're going to want to click one of those three moves so much that the fourth move just doesn't matter. So do something weird with it, like get crazy, get fun.
Yeah, the common things there are like Icy Wind or Power Gem or Mystical T-Bolt. Fire,
Thunderbolt. Yeah,
T-Bolt's another really good one. I think the Rumble I played against two specs Flutter, and both of them were Power Gym. I'm just like, that's really unfortunate when I'm trying to Terrafire my ape.
Well, that's with Fire being a common Terra type, and then
yeah, four, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, well, four of the top 12 Pokemon in Day 2 were Fire types, and actually going through it, I think it was like five. Let me see. No, like I think like four or five of the top 12 are weak to rock. Oh, Torn, Chimpao, Heartflame, Chiyu. There's four. Does rock resist rock?
Rock is neutral to rock.
Neutral.
Okay, so yeah, so five. Because rock hits Sassoon Arcanine, super effective. So yeah, like off the top of my head, like
ground resist five rock. Right there. Rock does not resist rock.
Yep. One of those weird things. This quick side tangent. I always find it, because like there's so many ground rock Pokemon, that it's like, especially as a kid, I was like, these are the same type. They do the same thing. Which is absolutely far from the truth. But just like with what felt like every single rock type from generations 1 through 3, or every ground, like pretty much every rock or ground type also being like a dual type of those two.
I was doing before we started recording, I was recording the Pokidoku episode for today, and we had Kanto ground type as a square, and I'm pretty sure all ground types in Gen 1 were also rock types, except for Diglett. Let's go with Diglett.
Cubone and Marowak.
Yeah, and like also Nidoking, Nidoqueen.
Yep.
There's a large chunk that actually weren't, so like, you know, everything I said is just a complete lie.
Yeah, it's like we just like named like six of them. But like the thing is, it's like on the other end you have like Rhyhorn, Rhydon, Onyx, the Golem line, like we have like the Brock Pokemon, and those are the ones that when you think of like rock types or ground types from Gen 1, you think of Brock's Pokemon.
Yep.
What else? Let's move on to a
few
other
teams. Let's see. Going back here to some more teams. There's a bundle here in third. Some Water Ogre Pond. Justin Knox's team here.
Yes.
Okie dokie.
This team is, this is definitely, you want to talk about a player diff team, this is definitely a team where...
This is a player diff team, yeah, 100%.
If Justin handed this team to anyone who isn't named Cybertron, because Aaron's just able to pick up and figure out any team he's handed within like 5 or 10 games, I don't think, let's break it down. You have your support mons in Clef and Fergaraf. Mind you, this is a nasty plot for a giraffe, so I say it's support because you have the armor tail and the trick room, but you can just let, if this thing, like, gets set up, like, those D-Glooms and Psychics are going to hurt.
Yep.
You have your...
This team was honestly really strong on its stream performances, too.
Yeah, your fast mode...
I'm over here searching on Twitter to see if, Justin has posted a rental for it yet.
Yeah. So we have the Waterfu and the Heartflame for like your fast mode. So again, another sword stance, another setup move with sword stance, Ogrepan. We have Bulky Okidogi, and that exists as a check against Intimidate, and it's just in generally a very bulky Pokemon. I think you have, like, the Assault Vest set, you have a lot of different techs. You're stabbed with Poison Jab and Brick Break. Brick Break being able to tech against Screens teams, and, like, specifically the Alolan Ninetales Snows teams. Snarl is amazing into the all of the special attackers. Like, we did have a lot of Chiyu Fluttermane offense teams, so being able to click Snarl into that with the Assault Vest backing is really big. And Ice Punch to just delete the genies. Like this Okidogi is a super cool Pokemon, and it definitely plays an interesting role in the team. Cleft really helps with your setup Pokemon, being both the Sword Stance Ogrepan and the Fergraph with its nasty plot. Also, it being Heal Pulse, I think, is super cool to just let your setup Mons or your Okidogi just live longer. And then at the bottom, we have a Life Orb, Blood Moon Ursaluna. And watching this Mon and just all of the Blood Moon Ursalunas on screen, like, I am sold on this Pokemon. Like the next team I build is probably going to be around Blood Moon Ursaluna. It is, Carter, you want to scroll down a little so we can see the moves?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Simple Protect, 3 attacks, Hyper Voice, Earth Power, Blood Moon. It's all you need. It's simple. It hits hard. You throw this thing in Trick Room, and it's not Five Nights at Freddy's. It's 5 turns in Trick Room, baby.
So I pulled up Justin's Twitter. And he, you know, says, out at top 8 at Peoria, was psyched to make top cut again, tried best I could, but, matchup and Jeremy were too much. Let's see. I'll be doing a stream this week to go over my run and the team. I do think the core of this team is super strong, just need some matchup help, and Urshifu probably replaced. Frigiraffe, Clef, Blood Moon, Ogrepan carried 85% of the matches. Very underexplored combo. So,
I can see that.
You know, just general thoughts about the team from, you know, the player of the team. It's kind of a shame to say that Okidogi was, like, not great, but, you know, I also understand that the matchups it's good in is probably the best possible thing you could have. And The rest of the time, it's just like a bulky wall, right?
Yeah, I think its main issue with this set, with the Okidogi, is that it really lacks, like, that move that does a ton of damage. Mm. You know, Poison Jab is 80 base power, Brick Break is 75 base power. And I feel like the secondary effect of Brick Break is not as good as, like, a Drain Punch would be on this Pokemon.
I Snarl, genuinely I think, like, Close Combat or Drain Punch would be sick on this.
Snarl is one of those moves where, like, you throw it on those physical Assault Vest Pokemon that carry it. And, like, I know in personal experience, whether it be in draft leagues or laddering or, you know, tournaments or whatever, I find that button to almost never be clicked. Like, could that be better used as a knockoff or a gunk shot or close combat or something to hit with a lot of power to make that Okidogi, like, a little bit more meaningful with its damage, especially if it doesn't get that guard dog boost? So that could definitely lean into, I think, a little bit of the issues with, like, the Okidogi set in this team, why it maybe wasn't as impactful. And I think the meta for Urshifu is just in a rough place, but the core of this team is really, really cool. Like, the Clefairy with the Blood Moon is awesome because you can follow me and do tons of damage. Also the extra bulk from the friend guard, and then the Frigiraffe to stop the fake outs is you know, obviously great when there's not a ton of protects running around this team either.
Yeah, I believe.
Yeah, I actually really like this team. The fact that, like, Clef is also, like, is able to help Frigiraffe set Trick Room or become overpowered with a single nasty plot is a really big deal, I think. And, like, obviously, Blood Moon is absurd. Like, I mean, what else is there to actually say? It's like, if it gets set up, it's absurd and ready to rock and roll. But in the meantime, it's, like, it is a normal type in a format with Fluttermane running around. So, like, you know, being able to have that incidental, like, immunity to a powerful stab move is good. At the same time, you are a ground type in a format dominated by multiple Ogre Pond forms.
Yeah.
So, like, Column A says cool, Column B says this is probably not great. So, I really do think it's going to take a lot of adaptation for these Strixhaven variants to make Ursaluna viable and actually very, like, playable on them, just with the dominance of, like, Ogre Pond, and, like, if Urshifu ever makes, like, a solid comeback as well, it just, again, is just super sad. You're weak to both, like, stabs off of Water Urshifu, and, you know, that might be where, like, Clefairy and Ferrigraph are just enough to really incentivize it to not do its thing, right? So,
I am throwing
interesting idea for its concept. Would really like to see this get worked on by more of the top players and come back and see what it looks like here in, you know, a month, if that.
I love how we're, like, digging Urshifu's grave, and it just was on both finalist teams, and where it's like, oh, this is the fifth seed, it's there. Like, and but it's weirdly enough to say where it's like Waterfu did really well in this tournament, and at the same time, it also just feels like it's in a super weird place where unless it's piloted, right? it's piloted super well, it's just not it. I think really when you talk with like the four Pokemon like Justin said that he brought mostly the Heartflame, Ogre Pond, Ferrigraph, Ursaluna, and Clefairy, you can easily Terra Hog your Ursaluna there. And to be quite honest with that four, it kind of gives off the vibe of like the way we would play the Dynamax formats, where you would have like your main focus, your Dynamax Pokemon, now being your Terrahog and Blood Moon or Saluna, and your other three Pokemon are there to maximize as like make sure that Ursaluna maximizes as much damage and as much output as it can get. So I think that in itself, maybe that's why I'm a little like drawn to the idea of it, because I still have Gen 8 brain with team building and with playstyle, and the idea of that like protect the king sort of like playstyle is very intriguing to me.
So correct me if I'm wrong, Blood Moon is a normal type Gigaton Hammer, like, right? It's yes. A special yep. Normal Gigaton, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So Blood Moon Ursaluna is not something I have played with, and that might need to change. I think that this thing is really underexplored. I think Justin's Justin's idea of this being underexplored is very accurate and something I think I would really enjoy working on.
You want to switch over to Leonard's team? We can go and look at how this mon is used.
Of course.
Not to skip over.
I think the big thing to talk about in like the differences here, obviously there's like your difference of Trick Room setter, you know, from Ferrigraph to Dusclops, which obviously is a very big difference. But Leonard's team also has just like a better secondary mode. I don't even know if you can say it's a secondary mode. Like, I think both of these modes play well together. You know, having your Intimidate pivoting next from Landorus, you can, you know, lead like Landorus plus Dusclops, go for a U-turn, swap out into either your Ursaluna or your Iron Hands, set Trick Room, so like now you're powered up for that. Your Dusclops is going to be able to live a hit because they're minus one attack. And then from there, it's just like, all right, cool. And, you know, being able to pivot in and out appropriately from, like, you have Iron Hands here with Volt Switch as well. So, like, you have that pivoting going on. I think both of these modes fit really well together. The fact that Ogre Pond gives access to Follow Me is just, it's so dumb. It didn't need it.
No, it did. I love it. This mon's perfect. She's a good girl. She's going to bonk you later. Yeah, so what you were saying with, like, the slow pivot into Ursaluna on Leonard's, one of his stream matches today, led the Dusclops and Iron Hands, went for the slow Volt Switch. Dusclops actually got doubled into, I think it was like a grassy glide, and it ate like a grassy glide and something else, and lived with like 40 or 50 HP left. And the Blood Moon Ursaluna comes in, and as you could see, like, just people exploring Ursaluna, weakness policy Ursaluna, which, again, leaning more into that Sword and Shield style of play, where just like we're back in early 2020, we don't know what COVID is, and you're clicking Brick Break into your Dynamax Rhyperior. Well, Leonard's clicking the Terra Normal button, Brick Breaking into his Ursaluna, and then he's deleting everything. I don't think there's a Pokemon that can live a plus two, Blood Moon.
Maybe Hands, but, like, if that's the case, you have Earth Power, right? So
yeah, I don't even, like, max special defense. All AV, right,
pulling up Pikalytics.
And throwing the Terra Normal as well. Like, this thing puts out a lot of damage, and I think team comp wise, it's very similar. I believe it was Marco Fierro who cut Worlds. I think it was top four Worlds with, like, the Cress Ursaluna with, like, balanced mons behind it. I think this is the same exact idea. The Ursaluna is different. So, the Trick Room setter's different. Oh, go.
Into Modest. So Modest plus two Terra Normal, Ursaluna Blood Moon. Into a 156 base power, 156 HP, 252 special defense, Assault Vest Iron Hands does 96.3 to 114.0% damage into it.
So what's that?
So,
like,
just about Oko's every single time.
Yeah,
it's like 80%.
Yeah, 80%, and people aren't running 156 on Iron Hands is a lot right
normally
now.
Normally it's about 44 is what I've kind of realized you can kind of fit into that HP slot. Like, that's extremely bulky Iron Hands, so you're pretty much always picking up the Iron Hands KO with the Blood Moon.
Yeah,
and if you're, let's see, I'm doing some math here. So if you are 44 HP, 212 AV, it's a guaranteed Oko. Good golly.
Just disgusting.
Granted, that is if you Terra, otherwise it's max 94, but, like, if you're gonna do it, you're gonna do it all, right?
No,
like,
this is...
You gotta do all of it.
Send it, baby, send it.
Yeah, you are really...
I'm curious how much, like, Hyper Voice does.
I'd imagine.
Yeah.
It's guaranteed two shot. Min roll is 52.
Insanity.
Yeah, this is a really strong mon. And just watching the videos, I forgot how good and how annoying Dusclops can be, especially in your Trick Room to just get rid of. On a team that only has two protects, it's the Dusclops just brings everything to a halt. And, like, you can make those, like, bulky, like, pivots in and out without, like, missing the protects there. Like, hypothetically, could you potentially see, like, a Sash Chiyu instead of the Specs one? Sure. But I think one of the other aspects of having that Specs Chiyu in the back is to, like, once the Trick Room's over, let's just say you can't get a second Trick Room back up, having a Pokemon like Chiyu in the back to just, like, click Heat Wave or specifically, like, Specs Overheat, which is another attack that will just knock out anything that doesn't resist it, and even some of the stuff that does resist it, having that as like a cleanup mon, like at that point you don't want to be clicking protect, you want the game to end. And like Pokemon like that Specs Chiyu, they are game enders.
So I found something that can live.
Oh god. What is it?
Assault Vest King Gambit.
It's Assault Vest Kyogre.
Oh my gosh.
That's not even the right year. We don't need to worry about that until... Okay, actually...
Max HP, 4 special defense. It is a 12% roll to Oko at +2.
What is it with max special defense? Like, no HP? Do we get more out of that with the Assault Vest multiplier?
So if we're 252 special defense, 4 HP... 85 to 101. So it's the same, like, roll.
Is it? It's the same roll.
Yep. It's a 12% chance to KO.
Nice.
Yep, exact same roll.
Yeah, I don't.
Interesting.
I mean, we did have an event where James won with Tornogre. No, not that one. Because apparently it still works. But yeah, no, I'm not.
What else we got over here to look at?
Let's look at some other teams. Let's go like a little more into the top 16. I know we did talk about one top 16 team. I found the
Screamtail.
Yeah, that is it. No, you look at this. You saw the Screamtail, and you didn't see the Pokemon next to it.
Staraptor sucks.
Noapilo's got a cool team.
Who? One more time, Jay. I'm sorry.
No, Noapilo has a cool team.
Scroll down a little more.
That's Almost Good Enough Gaming. I know you played in Knoxville.
Scroll down. There we go. The last.
There we go.
He has Annihilape. He has Hisuian Gudra, Grimmsnarl.
We have Screens Ape. Absolutely.
Screens.
He stole my Knoxville team and made it better.
Yeah, so we have Screens, Ape,
Loaded, Dice, Rock Blast, Arcanine, Hisui.
I love this. This is so cool.
You love to see it. Want me to tell you what this team screams to me? This team screams to me, I'm going to play the entire round every single game. Every single time.
We're going to time, baby!
We're joining the war on Big Stall, on the side of Big Stall. Let's go. Come on!
Between
up the stall, baby!
Between you two and, like, talking with Penny every now and again, who somehow always finds a way to be like, I'm just going to play with Annihilape and Hisui and Gudra because those are just comfort mons for him.
Annihilape is so freaking good.
Annihilape is a good mon. I think it's another Pokemon that it doesn't need the mouse. It's in a good spot because of the all the Intimidate in this format. I think Annihilape is in a great spot. Again, a bit of a Terror Hog, but on a team like this, you might be able to get away with that a little.
Gives you so much value. You're like okay Terraing it if it's allowing it to live another turn, so you can Rage Fist something and one-shot it.
Yeah, but between the Hisuian Gudra, the Screens, Crest just being bulky as all hell, having Lunar Blessing, actually this is a Calm Mind Crest as well, so if you ignore the Crest and you let it get a few Calm Mind boosts in, that Moonblast, especially if it does Terra Fairy, is going to do a lot more than you can think. The Intimidate from the Arcanine, like, this is a very... It's a bulky team. It's going to grind you out. There's probably a lot of sets that Noah was able to win just because, like, by game 3, his opponent's so exhausted and so tired just trying to figure out how do I break these massive walls of Pokemon. Like, the Apes...
Dude, I can't imagine playing 9 rounds with this on day 1.
He played, and then played another... He played 14 rounds. Yeah, 14. Absolute madman.
I love this team. I think it's awesome.
I need to message Noah.
It's a life on the Gudra too, which I think is so elite. It's the best. I know I was talking about it with Sinistra, where I was running Life Dew Sinistra next to Cresselia, and you could Life Dew and Lunar Blessing back and forth and just stay alive forever. But now you're doing it with something that's going to body press you and heavy slam you after getting plus two, like that, or plus four, or plus six. Like, that is so threatening. I love that. And the Terra Flying is nice. To deal with the Landorus a little bit, but I like I still like Terra Fairy too.
Did anyone mention we are Horn Leech on Ogre Pond too?
Yeah, no, Horn Leech.
The water ones
are Horn Leech
because you have like that special defense boost. You're trying.
Yeah, you
to
might as well
have
be
your
and just
longevity.
Be...
I think
especially the best way...
when you have screens here and all this all this healing.
Yeah,
it's like...
I love it here. It's so good. Just sit there and annoy the hell out of your opponent. That is your goal. if this goes to game three, we're drawn, baby.
Yeah, I think like in general with the Ogre Ponds, the Fire Ogre Ponds definitely a lot more like of the hyper offensive mold, and the Wellspring is more supporty. It's especially because you have an immunity in with Water Absorb. It is a really great like follow me, and the Horn Leech, it just keeps you more, gives you more health to use the follow me. And of course, like, I mean, on this team especially, it's a follow me, but if we go through some other teams, I know Paulchu was actually running Focus Energy on his Water Pond so he could go and crit every single Ivy Cudgel, because again, it's the funny bump move. Like, there were some Sword Stance Water Ponds as well instead of the Follow Me. But yeah, like with this Follow Me, I think Horn Leech just makes more sense. And specifically for this team, with all the other sorts of recovery, Intimidate, and the screens. Even like the Annihilate, but like it's going to be tough to take down. And if you hit it too many times, you're just making it stronger. It's like the City of Philadelphia. Its hate just makes it more powerful.
I want to find... Let's see, we're coming up on...
We all just
ignored
you, Angelo. I'm sorry.
I have to sneak one in every
we had to just ignore you there. It just had to happen.
I ignore you every time you talk, so...
That's great.
I want to find one last team to talk about. I want to find the highest rated Rock Ogre Pond team.
Also, while we're just on the screen, while we talk about the team, shout out to Nishant for their first day two appearance. That top 32 is great. Picked up the team this week and made a great day two. Love to see it. Love you, buddy. You're doing great.
All right, there's one here in top 32 in the hand of Aaron Perez. Has anyone seen a higher ranked one? There's two in day two.
There were three in day two.
Were there three?
Yeah, but I do think that Perez's was the top one.
Just quick glance over it one more time.
I see,
all these Ogre Pond forms
top
look the 64, same.
Four. Kevin Swastik has one. And
yeah, it's Aaron Perez.
Yep, I think Aaron's is the Aaron Perez top 32 here. We have Cornerstone Ogre Pond, Ivy Cudgel, Horn Leech, Sword Stance, Spiky Shield. That seems just like you're gonna sit there and just get a single Sword Stance up, Horn Leech back all your HP, and then just have your base 100 Ivy Cudgel just. Smash people with rock stabs seems pretty okay.
Yeah,
you got the Kalma-O, which can set up, get that Omni boost with the Clangorous Soul. I think Kalma-O is really, really awesome in this format. It can, with Terra, when it Terras, it pretty much beats Fluttermane every single time because it can't be hit by Shadow Ball with Bulletproof. And then you get the Omni Boost and just nuke stuff. So it's a really awesome mod right now.
So yeah, we have Sinistra here as well for redirection with Rage Powder. We have Hands here for Fake Out Pressure. So, like, we have a couple different ways of being able to get, like, a Sword Stance up or your Clangorous Soul. You also have Grimmsnarl here just to be able to set screens.
Yeah.
Thunderwave Grimmsnarl, I think, is real sick in the current format. Hmm. I think it is so freaking good.
Screens and setup in general is really good. And, like, and you've seen, like, on a few of these teams having a double setup option with either a redirector, screens, or in this case, both, is really great. I think the other thing that's really cool with the Sinistra, with the hospitality ability, is that
it can come in another way to keep your team healthy. Didn't even talk about that.
No, it's it is a little weird seeing the protect on Sinistra. I feel like Sinistra has definite four move slot syndrome. You want the Rage Powder, you want the Matcha Gacha. Protect's always going to be good on any mon, but you have Strength Sap, you have Trick Room as an option, which I wouldn't hate on this team. There is no sort of speed control, even if it isn't like a Trick Room team, so to speak. Just having a button to hit when you are a little outpaced would be nice. Could even throw a Calm Mind on Sinistra as well. Like it has a lot of really cool techs and sets that it can run, which I find very interesting. I think Chiyu's just here to, like, again, it's just Chiyu can just clean games up super easily, even with the specs. Yeah, I think this is, like, there's so many teams from this event that I've seen. It's like, I want to try this. This is one of them. I think Rock-type coverage is going to be on the rise, especially, like, with Sturdy, that built-in Focus Sash right there is going to be super cool. We might see more of these Koma-Os, more screens from Grimm instead of screens from Ninetales. Like just all in together, it just seems like a really, really cool team.
Big agree. Well, is there anything else we want to talk on before we call it a day? Like I said, we're coming up on just over an hour now, so.
I mean, I think that in general, I think that's it. We've covered most of the teams. We got to talk about our Lord and Savior Illumise. I think, like, in general, this was there were a lot of super cool teams that performed well in day two in this event, and I'm looking forward to seeing how everything from this weekend affects the events next weekend. Like, with it being such a short turnaround, what changes are we going to see in the meta?
Is Sacramento the regional that was just, like, super poorly ran last season?
No, that was
Fresno. There was one in California that was just terribly ran.
Yeah, that was Fresno.
That's right. Okay. Cool. I was really concerned there for half a second that we're going back immediately after last season too. So,
yeah, we're just not going to talk about the fact that this event in general was literal middle of nowhere. I saw, like, a few people. It was like, because there just literally weren't any Ubers to get to and from, like, the hotels.
Oh yeah, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, it was like $30 for a 2 mile Uber drive, just because, like, for the driver to head over to Peoria was just, like, that in itself wasn't worth it. So yeah,
tracks,
great event. Again, congratulations to James Beck and all of our finals day two players. It was a really fun weekend, and I'm excited to do the same exact thing with you boys next weekend.
I will not be here next weekend. It is going to be the first show without Carl or myself. So
it's either going to make or break us.
It's going to be the best show of all time.
People are going to be raving for me to not ever come back.
either that, or they will be begging for. I mean, like, at this point, the listeners have, especially me. Like, I've been on too many episodes this year, I think.
Nah.
That's a lie. I love
Never
you
enough.
Say, you say another you say one. Too many. I say you're another stuck here one. Forever. So
another one.
Well, so, Jay, you know how this goes.
All right. Thank you all so much for watching and or listening. If you're listening over on Spotify, make sure you leave us a rate. If you're listening on YouTube, make sure you like, comment, and subscribe. Check out the community Discord. We all hang out over there all the time. It's a great place. We're always talking Mons and having a great time. Follow the Twitter at LR Lessons, and we all have our personal Twitters. I never give you guys a chance to plug your shit, so get to it.
You want to go first?
That's literally your job. That's what the plugging at the end is
for. No, but like, but plug like your personal stuff, man. Like I don't.
I'm Mr. Missouri 25 everywhere. You can find me Twitter, Twitch. I think I have a personal YouTube. I don't really use it, but my account's there. If you want to go follow me for some reason, you can go follow. You can go watch my old Pokemon speed runs.
And you can follow me at RoVGC on Twitter, Rose Tinted Cheeks on Blue Sky, and we also have a Blue Sky now for the podcast. So you can follow the if you have a Blue Sky account. If you've left the absolute shithole hellscape that is Twitter, you can follow us there at Little Lessons.
Yeah, I can't follow it.
I asked, do you want a code? I can give you a code.
I said just, yes! No, you've never given me one.
I will send it to you.
Okay, I'm right taking it back. Taking the mic back. It's back in my hand. You see, it's in my hand. I am JMcG10 over on Twitter. The website at www.lrlessons.com. Shout out to our Discord and our Patreon supporters. That would be Johnny Bravo Sr. and Papa Swish over on the Patreon and Smeargle over on the Discord. Make sure you check that out too. We got some subscriber perks and such. And that has been the episode. This has been a wonderful episode. Thank you all so much for watching. And we will see you next time. I am Knuff, and so are you. And see you next time.
Peace.